He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the broadcast. My name is Jim Paris. I'm the editor-in-chief of the website, ChristianMoney.com, and we get together every Sunday night. We do the program live at 9 o'clock Eastern, and then we rebroadcast it throughout the week. Of course, our favorite venue for you to listen to the show is over at TalkStream Live. All you've got to do is go over to TalkStreamLive.com and then search for my name, Jim Paris, and you'll find my my page there, my channel. And that's our favorite place for you to listen. There's a lot of reasons for that. You can listen to that on your iPhone, on your iPad, on your Android device. You can also listen to it on your desktop computer over at TalkStreamLive.com. Of course, our website is ChristianMoney.com. And tonight we've got a really, really interesting show for you. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be welcoming my guest. Her name is Sherry Peel Jackson. And talk about a fascinating story. She's a CPA, a fraud examiner for the IRS, a long-term employee, ends up challenging the tax system as we know it today, and as it turned out, she went to prison for 3 years. We're going to ask her about her fascinating story and all that she went through. Ms. Jackson is a Christian, and we wanted to hear her story firsthand. I heard her interviewed on Alex Jones' broadcast, and we wanted to get her on the program, and she'll be joining us in just a couple of moments. Now, I have to tell you what's been going on in the world of Jim Paris the last week and a half. Last Sunday night, we ended up playing a rebroadcast of the show. I ended up getting terribly sick. I thought it was food poisoning at first, but it turned out that I had some kind of flu bug, and I know that it was because I was sick for more than the typical 1 to 2 days that generally you are sick when you have food poisoning. I was sick for 3 or 4 days, maybe even as long as 5 days. I was still kind of a little bit weak. Missed the broadcast last Sunday night. We played a replay. Tuesday, I missed my regular workout, my taekwondo class. I was too sick to go to taekwondo class. Started getting my strength back on Wednesday or Thursday. But here's what's going on. I wrote an article back on February the 12th, and you can get to this article by going to ProfitableSunriseInvestigation.com. I wrote an article about an investment opportunity that has been heavily promoted within the Christian community, and it's called Profitable Sunrise. So I write this little article, which was really mostly an article asking questions, trying to get to the bottom of this mysterious investment opportunity where people were claiming that they that you could earn 2% a day on your money. And this article, we get into some of the background in this, but where it got interesting and where this thing sort of exploded was when I actually tracked down the company to a small shopping plaza in Birmingham, England. And I called them on Skype and I announced, I'm on a recorded line and I'm calling from the United States. And what I learned became absolutely bizarre. It was off the charts. And that video was followed up by another video where we basically got some of the corporate records on this company. This story has absolutely exploded because as of Friday, the state of North Carolina has issued a cease and desist order against the company. And, you know, I don't want to give myself too much credit here, but we, our little website and my blog, we have been leading on this story. In fact, the New Zealand Herald, it appears that the New Zealand Herald was following our reporting because in their story on Friday, they name Agnes Junot, who is the person that we named a couple of weeks before that in our YouTube video, as the actual person behind Profitable Sunrise. This is one of the most strange stories that I have ever reported on. And I know that Christians can get involved with some wacky investment deals, but this one, it just gets stranger and stranger and stranger. And we have become the website of record, the new source of record for this story, Profitable Sunrise. So if you go to our website, christianmoney.com, you will see at the top of the website, Profitable Sunrise, 24/7 coverage. It's literally almost taken over our entire website, this investment deal, and it's got the intrigue of a novel. In fact, somebody wrote me an email towards the end of the week, and they said, Jim, we're waiting for the book to come out. It is absolutely fascinating when you look at what is going on here. And I ended up connecting with a nonprofit organization that investigates internet fraud, and I did a 45-minute interview with that gentleman. That interview was also placed up on YouTube, placed up on iTunes, all over the internet, and that download of that audio, we're getting hundreds of downloads of that audio, but our website is having just unprecedented traffic because of all of this. And what I guess probably the most surprising thing of all is I am getting so much hate mail, so many negative comments on my YouTube channel, on my blog, from people who have invested in this Profitable Sunrise deal, who are now angry at me for bringing out the truth. I guess that's all I can say that is happening. I can't really characterize it any other way. And here's the deal. I have really, as much as everybody I've talked to about this has already drawn conclusions about this, I'm still kind of, the jury's out a little bit for me because I'm just an open-minded person. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'll tell you, though, that door of open-mindedness is slowly closing as we saw the state of North Carolina issue a cease and desist order against the company. I'm becoming less open-minded by the second here, but I'm still open-minded to getting an interview with one of the principals of this company to just ask questions to, you know, what is this? What are you doing? How are you investing this money? Can you show us some audited financial records? What you'll find interesting if you read some of the news stories, which if you just go to Google News and type in Profitable Sunrise, you'll see some of the news stories. But one of the stories, I believe this was in the cease and desist order press release from the state of North Carolina. They actually have traced this whole deal back to the Czech Republic, is where all the money seems to be going. And this Agnes Junot is a 45-year-old woman who lives on an island near Africa. And, I mean, this is a story that will take you around the world and back. And our little website, christianmoney.com, my own reporting, and some of this might be interesting to fellow journalists when they look at the fact that I'm operating on a pretty minimal budget here. I'm not Brian Ross where I can get on a plane and fly over to England. So I use Google Maps to find the building where Profitable Sunrise is supposedly based. Using Google Maps, we also found the phone number of the accounting firm that's inside this building. And you can follow the whole thing. It literally unfolds like a novel. And the whole story is up there. We actually set up a separate URL for this because we're getting so much traffic and so many people are asking about it. We said, let's just set up a direct address so people can get to this one posting. And we have been updating this, literally any breaking news that comes in, we just go in there and do a live update, and we use red font so people can see that it's actually an update from the original story. We just added a new audio today to the story, which we were able to get our hands on a recording of the promoter, one of the promoters, Nancy Jo Fraser, actually on a conference call with Roman Novak, a public conference call that was recorded and was made available only to her inner circle of followers and investors. We were able to get a copy of that, and we posted that today. And that's fascinating to listen to because it gives you sort of the insider's viewpoint of how these people were being solicited to invest in Profitable Sunrise. And notwithstanding the cease and desist order from the state of North Carolina, we're still looking at a situation here where many of the people who have invested are still standing firm, that they believe this is a legitimate investment and they're not expecting in any way to lose their money. They're not the least bit concerned. It's just amazing to me the reaction. But if you want to find out all about this, if you haven't heard about the story, it's literally just spiraling around the world, if I could say that, within the Christian community, and the URL is profitablesunriseinvestigation.com. That's profitablesunriseinvestigation.com. All right, I'm told that we have our special guest for tonight on the line, and her name is Sherry Peel Jackson, and this is going to be a fascinating story tonight, folks. She went to prison for 3 years. She was an IRS auditor, fraud examiner, and CPA, a long-term employee of the IRS, and ended up challenging the tax system as we know it today, and she ends up in federal prison. And she's a Christian woman, and I heard her interview on Alex Jones. And I was just riveted listening to this. And Sherry Peel Jackson, welcome to the Jim Parrish Show.
Hi, Jim, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, can I call you Sherry, or how would you like me to address you?
Yeah, Sherry's fine.
Okay, very good. I got in trouble with one of my guests about a month ago. I was calling him by his first name, and he became offended because he goes by his first name and middle name initials. And
okay.
So... who knows? Everybody's got their own little system. All right. I heard you on Alex Jones, and I became fascinated with your story. And I wanted to start tonight by asking you to share with us what happened with you and the IRS. How did it turn out that here you are a long-term employee of the IRS? How did it turn out that you started questioning the tax system that we all just accepted as second nature, that this is legal and we're all supposed to pay our taxes? Here you are, of all people, an IRS agent, and you start questioning the tax system.
Well, I was an agent from 88 to 95.
Okay.
And I actually left the IRS for family reasons. I was climbing the ladder in the IRS, but it was taking more time away from my family. And as you know, Titus 2 says that we're supposed to be makers or keepers of our homes, and that wasn't happening. The IRS was taking more and more of my time, and the family was getting less and less. So after a grueling decision-making time, we decided that I was going to come home. When I came home, I stayed at home as June Cleaver for a while, but I got tired of being broke, so I started a little CPA firm in my basement. And people actually started to come to me to prepare their tax returns because I had that experience as an IRS agent. at the same time, people started coming to me. It was about 1999 and 2000, telling me that they were hearing that the income tax actually was being misapplied, that it did not apply to us. But I didn't immediately do the research because I was so busy. Then in 2000, a pastor sent one of her parishioners to me with a lot of information about the income tax not applying to us. And shortly after that, she told me that there was an ad in the USA Today. And this was an ad by We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education that was headed up by Bob Schultz. It said, "Dear We the People, the income tax is a fraud." And within the body of that ad, Joe Bannister, former IRS Criminal Investigation Division agent, was they had a little information about him and his book, and there was also a $50,000 challenge for anybody that could actually prove that we were liable for the income tax.
So you would get $50,000 if you could just prove that we were supposed to be paying the income tax, and you became interested in getting that $50,000, I would imagine.
I did. I mean, that's a lot of money for me. I could tithe an offering. I could pay off some bills and, you know, on a nice vacation. So I started doing the research. I actually ordered Joe Bannister's books, and you know, after 2 months or so, I realized that, hey, you know, there's something to this. Although I was an IRS agent and had access to the codes and regulations, we really didn't use those. We used pre-printed books that were made up by the service, and I couldn't find the law. And the rabbit hole got deeper after that, because it wasn't just the fact that the income tax was being misrepresented and misapplied. I learned about the Federal Reserve, and that was actually the straw that broke the camel's back, finding out that it wasn't federal and that they were a non-auditable private banking cartel that was collecting over $40 million an hour in interest from the American people. So that's what really got me riled up. It's like, okay, when I write a check to the IRS for income taxes, it's not going towards the roads because the gas tax pays for that. It's not going to pay the firemen and policemen because my ad valorem and real estate taxes pay for that. What is it going towards? It's going towards some Rockefellers and some Rothschilds, children's children's children to never have to work a day in their lives. And I couldn't stand for that because I worked hard and I wanted my family to have a nice life also. But that wasn't happening because every little extra was going to them. So I started to speak out about that and got in touch with Joe Bannister and started running around the country explaining to people what we learned. We never told people to file or not to file. We never told people to pay or not to pay. We just told people to do their own research and decide whether they were going to be slaves or get off the plantation.
And so you were having these educational seminars around the country, and then what happened next? Were you targeted, do you believe, because you were teaching these seminars?
Definitely, because we weren't just mountain people spouting off things that weren't true. When we did these little seminars, we would actually hand out information and tell people, go do your research. This is what we found. Look at the IRS website and compare. Don't believe me, but don't believe them also. So it wasn't just a matter of me mouthing. I actually gave them the information. After that, Aaron Russo, which made Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and The Rose with Bette Midler. Aaron's passed on now, but he decided to do a documentary called America, Freedom to Fascism. And Joe Bannister and I, John Turner, Ron Paul was in there, some constitutional attorneys were in there, Phil Hurt and some others were in this documentary. And I think at that point, really, they decided to get serious about us because we became more than just low-flying gnats on their radar screen. So they started to investigate us and eventually started prosecuting us.
Now, let me tell you, in my own case, and in case the IRS is listening to this, which they may well be, I've always been a compliant taxpayer, and I have heard these arguments before, and they're very compelling arguments, and I've read books about this, and I've heard speakers about it, but where I always came back to, Sherry, was, yeah, but the courts are not ruling this way, and so even though in terms of an intellectual argument, it sure seems like there's a great argument on, you know, this side of the equation. How do we get past the reality that the courts are not ruling this way? Did you ever deal with that issue in your whole process of going through this?
No, the thing that really compelled me is that, in my estimation or opinion, the courts are also in bed with you know, we don't have three branches of government. We don't. And somebody's got to make a change. I mean, if the founding fathers had not stepped up and did what they did, you'd be under King George and I'd still be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
If the people in the civil rights movement had not done what they had done, we'd be in a whole different position. It's up to somebody to make some kind of change or make a sound and at least educate people. And some of us were born for certain duties for such a time as this. Some of us were meant to be on the front line. I'm one of those real hardline Christian people, what they call authentic Christianity, and I felt like God was leading me to at least get this information out, and the consequences were up to him. Now, of course, I'm a type person that practiced what I preached, so because I was telling people that the income tax was not being applied properly, I was not actually filing tax returns. So that's actually what I was convicted of, which is a misdemeanor, willful failure to file. Now, that's not what they really wanted to do. They tried to say that there were four or five felonies, and when they did their raid and their invasion of my home, the search warrant said that they were going to find four or five felonies, but they didn't find any. They just found a Christian woman that was standing up trying to keep what she earned for her family and not for the banking cartel.
Very, very interesting. We're going to open up for phone calls tonight. Anything you want to ask Sherry Peel Jackson, agree, disagree, you want to ask her about the time that she spent in prison and what that was like, she's got some books out over at Amazon.com. If you'll just search her name over at Amazon, there's several books, and we're going to mention those before the show is over. She also has a website, SherryPeelJackson.org, and that's Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, middle name Peel, P-E-E-L, and then Jackson, SherryPeelJackson.org is the website. If you'd like to call in with a question or comment on this topic, 888-287-3316, or you can send your question by email to jim@christianmoney.com. Again, the toll-free number to ask your question or make your comment tonight on this topic, 888-287-3316. We'll start taking some calls here in just one moment. Sherry, when you went to prison, tell me about your family situation at that time. Did you still have young children at that time when you went off to serve your 3 years in prison?
Well, fortunately, they weren't that young. My children were 15 and 17 years old. I did miss their high school graduations, but I will not miss their college graduation. So they were older, and unfortunately, there were so many women there that had younger children, and I just really felt for them. So I had been married for 24 years,
wow.
21 years at the time.
And was there a period of time that after you were convicted, that how long was it from the conviction to when you actually began your prison sentence? And I would imagine from what I've learned from talking to others that have gone to federal prison, that's usually the toughest time, is that knowing I'm going to prison and I've got a limited amount of time of freedom left. What was that period of time like, and how long was it from conviction to starting the sentence?
Well, the conviction was October 30th of 2007. I actually was carted away at the sentencing hearing, which was Valentine's Day 2008. So that's November, December, and January. I had basically 3.5 months and spent that trying to prepare to buffer my family. You know, financially, we got the mortgage straightened out to where my husband wouldn't have any problems dealing with the mortgage company and, mm-hmm. you know, try to pay off some bills and try to get things in place to make sure that the children, I was homeschooling, and we had a unique homeschooling situation where my children went to a homeschool network on Wednesdays, Mondays and Wednesdays, and they were at home the rest of the week, and it was a very excellent school, a Heritage Classical Studies Center. So we had to make sure that family and friends were in place to drive my children to homeschool on Mondays and Wednesdays. So those were just times of preparing to make it a little bit easier on them.
Very, very interesting. Our guest tonight is Sherry Peel Jackson, former IRS agent, and she went to prison, and she's sharing her story with us tonight. Your calls are welcome, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. And I want to ask Joy, before we get to our first caller, Joy, are we confirmed for Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, coming up this next week? I don't know if she hears me. I believe we have Larry Pratt next week, so just a little preview of what we have coming up on our next program. Let's go to the phone lines now, and calling in from Los Angeles is Marie. Marie, you're on the Jim Parrish Show. Say hello to Sherry Peel Jackson.
Hi. Fascinating subject, by the way. I was just wondering, knowing that the government wastes our money, what methods of protest, I mean, would you suggest? Obviously, you know, there were some severe ramifications for, you know, what you did. I mean, what can the normal Joe Blow do to protest? I mean, is there a way to, you know?
And you're concerned, Marie, about government waste, which is something that bugs me when you think about, Sherry, all the money that is wasted in government and all these government agencies that we probably don't need, and you read about these so-called pork lists of all this waste. This is a great question that Marie asks. What can the average person do to protest that, to make their own view known on that issue?
Well, the average person is probably in a job and has a W-2, and a W-2 or a 1099 or those forms are basically testimonies to the IRS that you receive taxable income. And normally a company will not fight for you if you come and bring the information. I have so many people that come to me and say, you know, I showed my company the information that says that they're only supposed to be withholding from non-resident aliens and in 1441, 1442, and Section 1446 and all that. They don't want to hear that. They're not going to go up for you. They're not going to go to bat for you against the IRS. So the average person, in order to try to keep more of what they earn, what I am teaching people now is to start your own home-based business, get yourself financially in order, so when the excrement hits the portable cooling device, you will be able to survive. That's what's going on right now. We had a situation, I'm sure you know and probably talked about, Jim, when I was in prison looking up at a screen at CNN on October 29, 2008, when the stock market went down 777.68 points in one day. Millions of people lost half of their savings. People had to go back to work. Some people had to delay retirement. This is not something that was an anomaly. I believe that it's going to happen again, and I really personally don't see how people are investing in the stock market. We need to invest in ourselves. We need to start home-based businesses. We need to start gardening and trying to think about how we can keep the money that we earn.
Amen to all of that. Really, really good information. Tell us about your books that people can get, and then we're going to take a short break and come back and take some more phone calls. I see over here at Amazon there's, let's see, one, two, three. It looks like there's, you have three books out right now?
Actually, I have three that are published. I have another one that's a journal that was too short to spend the money to actually take the publication, so we self-published that one, and that one's free for anybody that buys the other three. But I would really prefer people go to awaketotruth.com and get the books that straight into where the self-publishing company that I use, Zulon Press, Awake, the number two, Truth. .com. Wrongly Convicted is a story about a woman that was wrongly convicted and had to stay in prison. It's basically my story. However, because there were so many fascinating stories, I made a fictional character experience my story, the things that happened to me, along with some of the other things that happened to other women. The other book, Questions People Ask About Prison Life, a lot of friends and family got together and they emailed me questions about prison life. A lot of people are shy about asking about what really happens in prison. They feel you might be heard, or it might bring back memories. But I had them all gather up all their questions, and I answered the questions so that people can intelligently see what goes on in the prison industrial complex. This is another whole story that the Lord has given me to be able to talk about, because people need to know the travesty that goes on in there. And
so
the other one,
awaketotruth.com, it's the number two.
The number two, exactly.
Awaketotruth.com. And go ahead.
Right. The other book I wrote while I was in solitary confinement. I was placed in solitary confinement for 5 months, and it's called Prayers for Deliverance of Prisoners, Conquering the Enemy and the Inner Me Through the Word of God. And it's just a lot of prayers, because it took a lot of prayers for me to be able to sit in that cell alone for 5 months. I had a Bible and I had a radio, So I was alone with the Lord, and Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and Anthony Evans and all those were my teachers. And so that was my time of getting really, really close to the Lord. So that was my prayer book.
Very good. Well, we're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a break coming up here. We're going to take about a 4.5-minute break. Sherry, if you want to stretch your legs. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how Congressman Ron Paul intervened in all of this and actually helped Sherry when she was in prison. We're going to also take more of your phone calls. 888-287-3316 is the toll-free number. If you'd like to call in and talk to Sherry Peel Jackson, 888-287-3316. Or you can send your question by email to jim@christianmoney.com. I'm also getting a message here on the screen from Joy, our producer here. She says that we tentatively do have Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, booked for next Sunday night's program. So that'll be a fascinating one with all of the discussion going on right now about gun control. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in approximately 4.5 minutes. Stand by. Hi, this is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. If you are interested in learning some new strategies for generating online income, check out my free training schedule at jimsfreetraining.com. That's jimsfreetraining.com. Whether you're just looking for part-time income or to build an internet business that can replace your full-time job, check out this free online workshop coming up this week. Register now at jimsfreetraining.com. The workshops are free, but are each limited to just 250 people. So take a minute now and reserve your space for my next free online workshop. That's jimsfreetraining.com. jimsfreetraining.com. Are you tired of hearing how the economy is doing so badly and how there are no opportunities? This is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you an opportunity that I first learned of a little over a year ago, right here in my own neighborhood. I was out walking my dog and saw someone cleaning a foreclosed house, and I struck up a conversation with them and actually found out that there is a business opportunity of cleaning out foreclosed homes for the banks, and these people don't make pennies. In fact, some of them make as much as $1,000 to $1,500 for one day of cleaning out foreclosed houses. Now, what's really neat about this opportunity is that the foreclosure crisis isn't going anywhere. So this is an opportunity that's going to be around for years to come. It's an interesting business opportunity, one that I think really does deserve your attention. And there's a website that you can go to get all of the details on this opportunity. It's called foreclosurecleaning.us. Now, maybe you want to do this just part-time, maybe just on the weekends or in the evenings. It's an opportunity that is very unique, and with everything that's happening in the economy today, it's something that's actually growing and expanding while many other things are drying up and withering. It's a unique opportunity, one that I think will give you a chance to maybe become self-employed, get out of the rat race, an opportunity to get into a whole new line of work. And it doesn't take very much money at all to start a business like this, and it doesn't take very much training. After all, you're just doing basic cleaning. To find out more about the exploding foreclosure cleaning business, check out the website foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us. Hi, this is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you something really unique that I ran across recently. It's an idea that I think would be very, very interesting to many of our listeners. How would you like to get paid to travel internationally and actually live in a foreign country for maybe a year or even longer? It's a unique opportunity, and it doesn't take a lot to get involved in this. The opportunity is that of teaching English as a foreign language. Now, I'm going to give you a website here that you can go to get more information on this. It's called MakeMoneyTeaching.us. That's MakeMoneyTeaching.us. Now, at the website, you're going to learn all about a unique opportunity where you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. Now, you don't have to go back to college, and it won't take you years to get this certification. In just a matter of a few weeks, you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. There are organizations that will actually pay you and actually pay your transportation costs as well to bring you into a foreign country. And you might live there for a year or longer. Many of the arrangements even include paid housing. Now, if you're someone that doesn't want to travel internationally, you can also take this same training and use this credential to teach right here in the United States or even over the internet using Skype. Take a couple of minutes today and check this out. It's definitely a very interesting opportunity that I think deserves your attention. Again, the website is makemoneyteaching.us. That's makemoneyteaching.us. Okay, we are back. My name is Jim Paris. You're listening to Jim Paris Live. We get together on Sunday nights and we do the program live, but then it explodes all over the internet. We put it on YouTube and a number of video channels. It's on iTunes and a number of other podcast directories. And you'll get, Ms. Jackson, you'll be getting a response from this program probably for years to come because of how we syndicate it out all over the internet. We're taking more calls tonight. Our guest is Sherry Peel Jackson. She's a former IRS agent. She went to prison for protesting the tax system. If you've got a question for her, you can join us toll-free, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316, or you can submit your question to me by email, jim@christianmoney.com. Before we get to our questioners, and there's a ton of emails here, Sherry, I wanted to ask you, Have your views evolved at all? As of today, for example, are you complying with the tax code, you know, albeit perhaps under protest, and not to to use a pun there, but are you complying today, or are you still challenging the system as you were previously?
Well, it's like an oxymoron here. Complying with the tax code, it means something different to most of those that have researched. But yes, as long as I am receiving a W-2 or a 1099 or anything like that where some company is testifying that I receive taxable income, then I'm going to deal with that. There's been ways to deal with that. You know, being a former CPA, I know how to get deductions. There's lots of deductions on Schedule A. Of course, if you have your home-based business and you have your Schedule C, you can deduct everything but the kitchen sink, you know, right, as business expenses. So, you know, yes, I am not going to set myself up to go back to prison, but at some point or another, you know, I am going to do the best that I can from now on to keep what I have earned.
Before we take any more questions from callers or emailers, tell us about Congressman Ron Paul. I understand he intervened in your situation while you were in prison. Tell us that story and what he did to help you.
Well, I got really, really ill in prison. They were not taking care of my medical needs, as a lot of women, you know, they have a lot of drama going on and they don't want to work, so they go to the medical unit. But there are people that are sick, and I'm not one that fakes. I got sick. They weren't taking care of problems. I ended up going to the hospital, finding out that I had developed a thyroid situation, hyperthyroid. My thyroid was putting out too much thyroxine, and my heart was racing. So, you know, one night I went and thought I was having a heart attack. They took me to the hospital. Hospital said my heart was fine. It was just my thyroid. They sent me back from the hospital with medication and instructions to monitor the medicine because medicines are different for everybody. The prison did not do that, and I got sicker and sicker. And at a point, I thought I was going to die. So I called my husband and told him what was going on. I used to be the CPA for Congressman Hank Johnson out of Georgia. He wasn't the congressman then. He was a lawyer. He and his wife had a law firm. I used to prepare their business and personal taxes, so I wrote a letter to him telling him the details about how sick I was and that I had been to the hospital and wasn't taken care of and all the gory details about what was going on with my body. My husband actually sent that email out to the supporters, and the supporters were the ones that made that email go viral, and some of them contacted Congressman Ron Paul. His office got involved. So I was called to the medical unit to sign papers so that Congressman Ron Paul's office could do an investigation. along with Congressman Hank Johnson. So I had two congressmen involved in trying to make sure that I wasn't being, that I didn't die in prison. And for that, I was shipped to a real prison. I was in a prison camp. It didn't have any gates or walls or fences. You just couldn't walk away or you get 5 more years for escape. But I was sent to a federal correctional institute, an FBI, where, you know, murderers and those were, and I was put in what's called the SHU, the Special Housing Unit, in solitary confinement for that. So Ron Paul, you know, even though I got put in solitary confinement, my medical needs were taken care of while I was in that FBI.
Wow, so they were going to get revenge against you for speaking out that in that way.
I mean, why else would I be placed in solitary? 5 months. When the women would fight, they would only get 90 days max.
Right.
I was in there 5 months.
Very, very interesting. All right, now, let's get to some of these questions. We've got a lot of questions coming in, and I'm going to pick these out in the order that interests me. This first question is one that I've always had, being that you used to work for the IRS. You might have some insight on this. Does the IRS go after special people, like if you're famous or a person of note, that they would focus on you more than anyone else? And I've had this question myself. This emailer's asking about Wesley Snipes, for one example that they mention here. But is this the case that the IRS would like to pick someone more well-known to make an example of them?
Oh, yeah. That's how you get the promotions. I mean, it was well-known when I was an IRS agent. You get a preacher or a politician, and you get promotions, and you get bonuses, monetary bonuses. So, yes, they would definitely love to go after those that were famous. That's
and
why there are so many people in prison that really didn't do anything, because people, even the district attorneys, get promotions for getting the big fish.
Phil Driscoll had told me, I had talked to Phil Driscoll before he went to prison on his tax charges, and he told me that it was his experience that the IRS actually had a certain large number of agents just dedicated to go after Christians and Christian organizations, which I don't know if you, do you believe that that's the case as well?
Well, recently when I just went to prison in 2007, 2008, during that time, Charles Grassley, the senator out of, I believe, Iowa, started going up against some large pastors, the two of them here in Atlanta, which are Eddie Long and Creflo Dollar. And so I think that is actually going on at this point.
Yeah, I read that story as well. And that was concerning to me because you know, not that we're going to pit one religion against another, but I'm a Protestant. But when you look at all the money that the Catholic Church has, and it doesn't seem like the same questions get asked about the Catholic Church and their vast wealth compared to the Protestant churches. But that's another topic. Someone wants to know here, and this is a great question. You hear about these big corporations. They're mentioning General Electric here, and Google, but you hear these stories where these really big corporations will use offshore accounts and offshore corporations and different methods that the average person wouldn't have access to literally almost get completely out of paying any corporate income taxes. How big of a game is that today? Are these just isolated examples, or can you speak from experience that these larger corporations do have resources that can put them in a position to sort of know all of the loopholes?
Jim, I have extensive experience in this area, actually not from the IRS, but after I found out what they were doing, their equity stripping. Yes, they set up these offshore corporations, and the mama corporation is offshore somewhere. And what they do is they'll purchase their goods from, let's say, Africa or China and ship them to, let's say, Panama, where there's a tax-free zone and a duty-free zone. And then they'll charge astronomical prices to the local stores up in your area, and all of the profit is down there somewhere else. So it's called equity stripping. They do it all the time. Our corporations don't pay anything in taxes. Over 80%. Close to 90% of our corporations don't pay. But I want you to know that regular Joe Blow does have access to these strategies, these offshore strategies. Number one problem is he doesn't know about them. Another problem is that every time the media says anything about offshore, it's always associated with illegal. The media and the powers that be want regular Joe Blow to think that if he does anything offshore, it's illegal. There are people out there like myself that have international business corporations, private interest foundations. It's not that the Rockefellers and all of those are better than us. It's just that they know things that we don't know. And if we don't know that while we're watching Dancing with the Stars and American Idol, we'll never know.
Yeah, and I was reading something in Wikipedia. There's something called, it sounds crazy. It's called a Dutch sandwich, and it's called a double Irish arrangement. And many of these corporations set up corporate offshore accounts in the Netherlands and in Ireland. And by moving the money around between these different entities, they're able to substantially lower, if not completely wipe out their tax liability. In fact, General Electric, president of General Electric, Jeffrey Immelt, was on the President's Council of Economic Advisors. I think he was the head of that. And at the same time, GE, as a corporation, was paying very little, if anything, in taxes. And the average American, you know, who looks at, you know, maybe they're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, and they look at maybe $12,000 or $15,000 of that going off to the IRS, that causes a lot of bitterness and resentment when people hear stories along those lines.
That's true. There are some people out there that think they're above the law, but there are actually other people that are taking advantage of the law. Jim, the problem is that we have not been educated in these areas. It's not that hard to get an international business corporation for your corporation or your small business here. You should be able to operate internationally in any of the businesses that you have, especially if they're service businesses or online businesses. But we have not been educated in those areas, and some people just don't know where to look. They don't even know it's available. It's available to the average Joe Blow, and he can actually reduce, just like the Maria or the first caller, you can reduce or eliminate your taxes by setting up these entities offshore, and you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be a GE. You can be mom and pop business.
And there still are some of these strategies that are available if you get educated and learn about the tax code. Just for example, like you said, having a home business, there's a lot of great books you can just, you know, get, you know, for your Kindle device or get down at your library on all the different deductions that you can take if you are a home business. And a lot of people don't, you know, even realize what could be a tax deduction. You know, your computer, if you're using it in your business, you know, if you've got an internet connection and that's being used in your business, I mean, there's all kinds of different things that you're probably already paying for now that if you were in a business that you could legally, without any problem, be able to take tax deductions for those. Somebody's and let me give the number out one last time. Most of our questions do come in by email because people are listening over their computers typically, but let me give the number one last time, 888-287-3316 if you'd like to speak with Sherry Peel Jackson. This is your last chance, and if you do call in, callers go to the front of the line over all of these email questions. 888-287-3316 is the call-in number. Someone's asking here about these companies, Sherry, like Taxmasters, where they have TV ads and they will say to you, look, if you owe the IRS a lot of money and you can't pay it, you can get in touch with us, and then they charge you a fee, and they supposedly will work something out with the IRS to get your taxes substantially reduced. As many of them say, for pennies on the dollar, they can settle your tax debt. What are your thoughts about companies like that?
You might as well pay them on your own, because you'll end it. I know people that have actually paid these people thousands of dollars and ended up not getting any relief, so they could have used that money, if they were going to pay, to give it over to the IRS. They normally don't work. What the smart people do is they'll go get an attorney or an accountant that used to be an IRS agent that has inroads in there, and then I've seen situations where these people do get some relief because that person used to work there and has some connections. But these companies, the ones that advertise on the radio and whatnot, those are not normally the ones that are going to get you any relief. There's something called a offering compromise. I don't know very many people that are granted that, because the IRS says that if you have two arms and two legs, we can wait until eternity for you to get the money and pay. So they don't normally do that. So people are paying out thousands of dollars trying to get an offer in compromise, and when the answer is no, you're looking at that company saying, well, I just paid you $3,000 or $4,000 to get me an offer in compromise on this $30,000, and the IRS said, no, I could have used that money for something else.
Well, and what I found, too, most of the time we get a lot of questions from people in these situations. I tell them, just go find a local CPA in your own little town that you live in who works with the IRS, and you can have them help you with what the different programs are, and they'll usually help you for, you know, maybe 10% of the cost of what these big national companies that are advertising on Fox News and these different TV networks. That's something that we've recommended. Is that a good piece of advice to be giving people, that they could just find someone locally that might charge them maybe a few hundred dollars or less to help them, as opposed to going with one of these big national companies? Or could they just go to the IRS directly on their own?
I would not tell them to go to the IRS directly on their own, because they're tricksters, and they can trick you and into saying something that may not be true, and I've seen that happen a lot. I would recommend, though, that people turn off the television and do their own research concerning, you know, what's available to them, because it's not good to trust people with your life like that, with your income. Yes, hire a CPA, but also know what he knows, know what she knows, because this is our lives. This is our livelihood we're talking about. People really are so afraid. I mean, the propaganda has made people so afraid of the IRS. Go and do the research and figure out who you are and who you are in relationship to them and your finances.
As we close out with you tonight, Sherry, tell us what your life is like since getting out of prison, what you're doing now, and take a minute or two and tell us about all your websites and books and the different ways people can get in touch with you.
Well, I was determined to come out of there and be better than I was before. I have started home-based businesses. I have two great home-based businesses, and I help people. One of them is actually helping people start home-based businesses, find the home-based business that's great for them and get it up and running and get it profitable. I started seminary. I am a second-year seminary student going for a master's in Christian studies, because
good
I started Titus II International Women's Ministry. The older women, which is me now, need to start teaching the younger women, because our Christian women have lost their way. You don't see any difference between them and the women in the world, and that's not supposed to be. So one of the things that God told me while I was in solitary confinement, you know, I put you here for one of the reasons, was to see what's going on with the women here, with women in general. So I am going to aggressively get out there and minister to the younger women, older ones also, and, you know, get back on track with what women are supposed to be doing per the Word of God, and just teaching people how to thrive instead of just surviving. People are tired. People are losing hope. The government is going berserk, not just here in the United States. People want answers, and there are answers out there. And I'm just one of the people that God has equipped to show people how they can prosper and thrive and not just survive day to day. So that's what I do now. My children, my son will be graduating from college this May. My daughter has maybe a year and a half more. And I'm just starting my life over. I mean, the finances were wrecked, of course, you know that. And just starting over. I work part-time at my church. And I
did your marriage survive your years in prison?
We're still married. Put it like that, but you know, there's a lot going on.
I can imagine that would have been a tough challenge for you. And for people that want to get your books, again, they're on Amazon. We say that because they're there, if that's what you normally do. But Sherry would rather that you go to awake2truth.com, and that's the number 2. So it's awake2truth.com. That's one website. We also have another website here, sherrypeeljackson.org, and that's Sherry, Sherry, middle name Peel, Peel, Jackson.org, sherrypeeljackson.org, or awake2truth.com. And if you didn't get any of that, we have all of our contact information here at our office. You can send me an email to jim@christianmoney.com.
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me on the show. Bless you.
All right. God bless. Thank you. You know, let me make a couple of comments here, and then we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. I want to give you some closing thoughts on this whole profitable sunrise thing. I've always paid my taxes, but I've had this same question that Sherry Peel Jackson has had. And, you know, I respect her her stand. You know, this was something she believed in, and she was willing to go to prison for it. And, you know, this is a pretty tough topic for me to bring on my show, because I know that a lot of Christians are going to take the position that, hey, Jim Paris is saying to not pay your taxes. And we want to make clear tonight that that's not what we're doing at all. We are not suggesting that you step out and not pay your taxes. Sherry said this was something that she felt was a cause of hers. And I've read the books. I've heard the arguments. There's a lot of good intellectual arguments that people will make about our current tax system. And if we look at our last election, people like Herman Cain was calling for a complete overhaul of the tax system. We've got the fair tax, the flat tax, all kinds of different ideas. I think we're at a point now when we look at how messed up our tax system is and how we have the big corporations using all these offshore tricks to be able to get out of paying, and yet the average person is paying pretty heavily in taxes still, and we look at the waste in the government. I think this is a topic that's okay for us to bring up, and I hope that you are okay with us having this discussion tonight and where we stand on this. And Miss Jackson seems like a wonderful Christian woman. Agree or disagree with her position, her past position, her going to prison. That's your own view, but she seems extremely sincere to me and someone that was willing to stand up and be an objector to a system that she personally doesn't believe in, someone that was an insider working for the IRS, an experience that most of us have never had. And I thought it was an interesting interview, and I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with some quick closing comments in about 1 minute.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30. But ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
As we close out the show tonight, I want to bring your attention back to this Profitable Sunrise deal. If you know someone who has invested in Profitable Sunrise, based on everything that we're seeing, the cease and desist order in the state of North Carolina, the lack of answers to our questions, I think that it is time for those with significant amounts of money involved to take the money and run. You know, I've gotten emails from people that have said, hey, I've got $50 in or $100 in. I'm not worried about losing it. I'm not really talking to you folks. I'm talking about the people that have tens of thousands of dollars invested. And some of the news that we're getting is that there could be as much as $100 trillion in this Profitable Sunrise deal. The fraud investigator that we have been working with, the nonprofit organization, and you can see all of this over at ProfitableSunriseInvestigation.com. He is predicting that the whole deal is going to collapse in the next 30 days. And he's got a lot of good inside information to be coming to that conclusion. So I would take that as a very serious and ominous warning. Well, it looks like we're about 90% sure our guest for next week will be Larry Pratt, president of Gun Owners of America. That'll be a great show with all the things that are going on right now in the news having to do with gun control. This is Jim Paris here as always to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.